So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
All right, now we'd like to talk to Dr. Michael Bauer. He's a pediatrician, medical director, Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital, and lots to talk to you, talk about with you. Doc, thanks for joining the show.
My pleasure. I was hoping we'd get to talk about the Bears.
Hey, what do you think? What's on your mind? You big Bears fan?
Yes, I am a big Bears fan and have actually had a long-standing relationship with the team since they train up in Lake Forest and have housed up there with taking care of a lot of the families, et cetera. So love the Bears.
I do, too. Go Bears. What a year. I mean, you know, you look forward to going to games in person. I know there are just conversations with the city and that kind of thing. You know, it's a tough thing as you look at different teams try to make up their minds about how to do it. Doctor, I mean, what do you think about that? You know, there's a lot of things to think about, right?
There are, but I'll tell you, I don't know if you watched the game last night in Kansas City. There were plenty of shots where people were clustered together, not wearing masks or wearing their chin masks, which really do no good. So I actually have some good still shots of those that I took off the TV as a how not to do it.
I love that. You put it out there. It's great information because you're right. When you're chanting and you're shouting and you get excited during a game, it seems like those are sort of the things that we probably have to be mindful about.
1,000%.
Yeah. Let me ask you about something else, because today is an important anniversary for our country, 19 years after 9/11. And that day, and we have honored our first responders and the fine work that they do and thank them and remember them for their sacrifices, extreme sacrifices that day, in fact. And now here we are 19 years later, different circumstances, of course, but it's again a time, you know, to show respect and really thank our doctors and nurses, first responders on the front lines. And I just wonder what 5-6 months now into this pandemic, what are your observations here? How are folks doing in the medical community?
That actually we're doing just fine. That I don't want to say it's business as usual, but it's now business as usual in the COVID era. We are back to operating Northwestern Lake Forest really at full capacity with up to speed on full surgeries, et cetera. And we've learned how to now survive in a COVID environment while we don't have the same numbers of COVID positive patients in the hospital. It's something that we're faced with every single day with every patient that potentially crosses our paths here. Our nurses, our doctors, not only our frontline staff, but every single tech, all of our environmental specialists, they're just doing a great job of staying safe. I hearken back to one statistic I love to talk about, that very early on in COVID, and I'm talking in early April, we did have two of our frontline ICU nurses that worked very closely together and shared a small office that both came down positive. They were our only frontline staff, and we've now discharged over 700 patients from Northwestern Lake Forest. And those are not people that have just come in with COVID. Those have been our hospitalized patients. And they were our only two frontline staff that came down with it. So I think it shows what you can do when you take care of business and follow all of the precautions on an everyday basis that you're supposed to be doing.
And I'm going to guess that none of the medical staff is wearing the chin mask, as you saw at the Bears game. The Texans Chiefs game, right?
Actually, everybody's instructed to kind of be the mask police, and we will politely correct anyone within the building if they're not wearing it correctly.
Yeah. How do you guys do that? Do you have a good way to do that, Dr. Bauer?
Yes. Our patient engagement team actually has worked with everyone on how to gently remind them and tell them that, boy, we really appreciate you protecting our staff as well as yourself. Please make sure that you put your mask, look how I'm wearing it. So
That's a good way to do it. And I appreciate you hearing it, because we often hear the sort of the argumentative way, or the kind of the aggressive approach, and that isn't always well received and can lead in bad places. But that's a very good way of doing it. And thank you for sharing it. We had a woman call into the show yesterday or the day before, nurse who is, on the front lines and treating COVID patients. And she said that she is, she's still holding the hands of them and still acting as a family member. And that those kinds of stories are still happening, that these are the roles that the nurses and doctors are still playing, as they try to take every precaution in hospital rooms and, to control the spread.
Yes, our staff did just some amazing things, especially with our sickest patients in the intensive care units, with the use of modern technology and iPads and iPhones, or Samsung, et cetera, Android. We did some great work on communicating daily with the families to allow them to view the patients, talk with them, et cetera, and really be the family in-house, because at that point there were no visitors allowed.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's heartbreaking to see, and you get why it's being done, but it's another hat for you folks to wear, and it just seems so many of you are doing it with such a heavy heart and the strength of I don't know where it comes from, but it's there. Doc, can you hang on just for a second here, because I have to pause, but I want to ask you about Halloween, and there are some discussions with all kinds of health officials, both here in Chicago and really cities all over the place, about whether or not they were going to ban trick-or-treating or they're going to go ahead with Halloween, and what kinds of things to be, conscious of as people talk about this holiday approaching.
You got it.
So many of you shared your thoughts about Halloween. What should be done here in the city of Chicago? The mayor and the top health official, Dr. Allison Arwady, who was on the program this week, doesn't seem like they're committing just yet. They're kind of reviewing things, taking a look at what they might do. I didn't get much indication either way of where they're going with it. But then you also saw this week that Los Angeles County banned trick-or-treating and other Halloween activities. They came out with that announcement a couple days ago, then sort of walked it back a little bit and said, we're not going to ban it. There's not going to be any kind of health code order or anything like that, but we're simply going to label these kinds of activities not recommended. And that's the only area I've really heard of so far, but you wonder as we get closer to the date what kinds of decisions different cities and municipalities will make. So I want to ask Dr. Michael Bauer, whether they're banned or not, people are going to do some of these activities, and I think it's important to sort of discuss some of the safety precautions, the things to look out for on a holiday like this,
That absolutely. There's no question this year's Halloween is going to be different, but there's no reason that it still can't be fun for the kids. It really revolves around a lot of common sense with following our current safe COVID practices. Just like birthday parties, et cetera, have turned into a lot of drive-bys, limiting the amount of people, staying outside, masking, I think Halloween is going to have to follow in those footsteps. So far, the CDC has not come out with any recommendations or guidelines, and I think it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all approach. We're going to have to look at what are the local rates, what are the local positivity rates, and rates of spreading to help determine how best to approach Halloween. But it is going to definitely boil down to we're not going to have parties indoors. We're not going to have large gatherings. As far as the trick-or-treating piece goes, I think a lot of parents are going to have to decide based on what their local community and local municipality is deciding for them, if they're indeed going to have it or not, just how comfortable they feel doing it. But I think overall the risk of spreading COVID-19 by going trick-or-treating, if you've maintained your physical spacing, physical distancing, and wearing a mask, and fortunately it's Halloween, everybody's going to be wearing a mask, those kind of brief interactions are really extremely low risk of spreading COVID.
That's good to hear. I know that I've already seen the masks that are out. They've got all kinds of Halloween masks that are in stores and, just the spiders and the pumpkins and the things like that. And you're right, incorporate it as part of your costume and that kind of helps. We also heard from our listeners, too, yesterday with these very unique ideas, very creative ideas, Doc, on how they're going to be dishing out the candy. Some of them had said that they're just going to stand at the top of their steps and toss the candy to the kids and try to get it in their buckets and bags, and I don't know how that's going to work. And then one guy called in that his friend is already creating this long PVC pipe, and he's going to shoot the candy through it into a bowl, and then the kids, one by one, just sort of pluck it out of the bowl at the other side. So, I mean,
yeah,
you've got to think about
this. I'm sure if you YouTube, you'll find lots of different things like that. I do want to point out, Anna, though, that really the biggest dangers are not from COVID. It's from the risks that are faced with every Halloween, making sure that costumes are safe, making sure that you look and that it's a flame retardant or flame resistant material, that it doesn't contain any toxic substances that you're using for makeup, watching out for choking hazards for our little ones, making sure that the masks and costumes aren't covering eyes. You know, really the biggest dangers are kids running into the street and having accidents with their costumes. So that's what presents our biggest risk, not really spreading COVID, as long as we're staying away from those big parties and indoor gatherings like we should not be doing.
One of the things that was pointed out on one of the shows here on WGN this week was that you sort of, when you're spitting and the trick-or-treat and you're kind of shouting, that's one of the risks. But I suppose that's what the mask is for, to help control that.
That absolutely correct. And again, if a parent is going to go with their household children or their known contacts that they're usually with, keeping the groups small, these very brief interactions, whether the candy gets handed out to you, whether it's put on a little plate where you take it from. The only thing I would like to caution people, we don't want to put candy in big bins and having the kids reach in together, take them out, look at it. Oh, I don't like this one. I'm going to throw it back. I really wanted a Snickers, not a Three Musketeers. I would avoid that type of thing. We want to have it individually passed out.
And only take one, because it drives me nuts. That's total, like, come on, take one. Right? And you go in there and you grab a half. That's not what you're supposed to do.
When your bucket's emptied by the first five people that come to the house, that's not nice Halloween.
It ain't right. 608 listener has a question. Hello, Anna. Hi, Dr. Michael. When children get home from school, should they shower and change clothes? Many thanks. Is that a necessary step you need to take?
That in general, no. The schools should be providing safe environments. We know the risk of getting COVID from your clothing is exceedingly small. I do know a lot of the doctors and nurses early on would go home, kind of take off their clothes either in the garage, go jump in a shower. That's been largely disproven and really is not necessary. Good hand hygiene, though, is very, very important. And during the trick-or-treating part, I would make sure you carry hand sanitizer, and every four or five houses or so, have your kids use it.
Yeah, makes sense. You know, can I ask you, Dr. Mike, about vitamin D? My mom called me the other day. She says, you know, and I'm going to be starting to take vitamin D. I've read a lot of these studies. There have been so many of them throughout COVID. At first, there were ones that talked about how there might be some sort of preventative help that vitamin D supplements can provide. I just saw a recent study about how that there it's been used on people who have it to try to lessen the intensity of, I guess, how severe of a case you get. I just wonder what you can tell us about the success of vitamin D and whether or not we should really take it.
A few facts about vitamin D, I guess, to begin with. We know it is important to help our immune system function well, and we do know that supplementing vitamin D, especially during cold and flu season, can help lower the risk of getting other viral respiratory infections. If you couple that with knowing that approximately 50% of the population in the U.S. Is vitamin D deficient, I think you can make a case that a lot of us should be improving our vitamin D intake or be on vitamins on a day-to-day basis anyway. I think what you're probably referring to, there was a study I believe it was in JAMA that came out of our own University of Chicago. They went back and looked at people that they had done vitamin D levels on previously that then ended up getting COVID. So they looked at that, and then they tried to correlate, gee, those people that we knew were vitamin D deficient and were either not taking adequate supplements, they seem to have about a twice as high risk of getting COVID than the rest of the population. So that was done on a study of, I believe it was about 500 patients. So we certainly need to keep this at the forefront and do more studies. But I really think the take-home message here is making sure you have adequate vitamin D intake either in your diet that or consulting with your physician or primary care provider on what might be the best amount to supplement with, especially as we're heading into the fall and winter months. Mm-hmm. Most of us get our vitamin D from sunlight, and you really need about 15 or 20 minutes, three or four times a week of sunlight to get adequate vitamin D levels. As we get out of the sun and have to shelter more inside during the winter time, that's when vitamin D deficiency starts to take hold. So I think there is something to say for make sure you get adequate intake, and it's possible that you'll decrease the risk of not only getting COVID, but flu and the other winter respiratory viruses.
That's good to hear. I'm looking here just a list of foods. I know you say sunlight and other supplements we've mentioned. Orange juice, salmon, mushrooms, portobellas, yogurt, tuna, milk and non-dairy milks also both fortified with vitamin D. So
You know what the number one I believe
what?
Is though?
What is it?
You know, back in the go back to the pictures of the 50s and 60s of the mother giving their children cod liver oil on a spoon while they were holding their noses, that's the best bang for your buck to get vitamin D.
That's
or sardines.
Or sardines, yeah. Give those to your kids. See how that works out.
Oh, yeah.
Eat your sardines. Hey, a couple of good comments here. 815, when are we as a society going to start taking our lives back? I'm frightened by how compliant and conformist we become. My daughter asked me if the governor is going to allow Santa to come this year. How sad is that? Now, if I heard you right, you're saying you can still safely trick-or-treat, wear your mask, do social distancing. There's a way to do it. Isn't that right?
There is. But, again, it boils down to masking, keep your distance, good hand hygiene, and this can be done safely. But going in large groups with other people, not being properly masked, that's going to be a recipe for disaster.
847 says, I know you've been talking about Halloween, Anna, but I'd like to get the doc's opinion on bowling leagues starting back up in the fall. People are starting to try to get back to their, you know, the things that they do in their free time. Bowling leagues, sports, stuff like that. What's your thoughts on that?
That it may get old, but you're going to hear me say go back to the basics again. First of all, we know that outdoor is better than indoor because there is a higher risk of spreading indoors. So if you're going to entertain something like a bowling league, A, you have to stay masked. You have to stay distanced from your team members. Remember, if you have two lanes and you have four people on a team, so you have eight people sitting very close together indoors and you're shouting when you get a strike or a spare, et cetera, even masked, that would be an at-risk type of activity.
Okay.
So spreading out, having less people allowed to bowl at the same time, reservations, maintaining your distance, that's a way to do it safely.
Okay, any updates on treatments and vaccines? Anything you've read, come across that you want to share with us?
That from a treatment standpoint, we have had some good success with remdesivir, the antiviral. We still are iffy on the plasma-type treatments, taking blood from people that have had COVID and using their antibodies. Some centers have had success with that. And then using the steroid Decadron or dexamethasone for hospitalized people that are on oxygen has shown to help decrease their length of stay and decrease some of the complications we see. I want to caution people, though, just like early on when everybody jumped on the hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin, dexamethasone is not to be used for this in the outpatient setting. It is strictly limited to the inpatient and more severely ill.
Dr. Mike, have a good weekend. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
My pleasure. Stay safe.
You too. Stay safe. Dr. Michael Bauer, that is. He's a medical director in Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital.